Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right, so first up, this Florida man stole an excavator and then decided to Kool-Aid man through it through a Walmart wall. You know what I mean, right? Like he busted through the wall. Gainesville, Florida. Dude's in custody after police say that he straight up stole an excavator and then drove it through not one, but two buildings. Woo-wee! They said that they located a storage unit and that the suspect also drove through. So add that to it. And they said that, yeah, he drove right through the wall of a Walmart. And it's like Florida man versus the Walmart wall. Like, why in the world did he, could he not drive it? It happened in the evening. The police had a bunch of pictures. It's from Click Orlando. He went on this like joyride on a stolen excavator, but I don't think he like could actually drive it really. The department did not release his name or age, but they did say that the person was in custody. You know, it is a dude. Come on. Well, no, drove like a woman. So could be, just saying, but, went through. So two buildings in a storage unit. So, just want to make sure we get it all right. Oh my gosh. That's just too, yeah, so he's in a lot of trouble with that one. All right, this Florida man who, this is a sad story. I don't want to read any sad stories. Let's see the DUI golf cart. This 20-year-old was, I get it, like golf carts, but I've also had stories, Florida man stories, where a guy has been given a DUI in a lawnmower and also a horse. So a 20-year-old was pulled over by police after reports came in of a drunken golf cart driver leaving the gas station. It was in Key West, Monroe County. So this 20-year-old dude was arrested over this past weekend. They said he was intoxicated during a traffic stop. They said that James Jackson from Key West was pulled over at 5 p.m. on U.S. Highway 1. He was driving a Key West Golf Club golf cart. And he was stopped after people were calling the police saying, there is a drunk guy driving a golf cart. Y'all need to be looking into this. And so they found a number of opened and unopened bottles of alcoholic drinks. What kind? In the golf cart. And they had dents and bent portions of the golf cart, along with a portion of the windshield missing, tons of damage to the front tire. So, the Key West police, they were investigating reports of damage done earlier in the day to the golf club course with a stolen golf cart. So they arrested this guy with, charged him with DUI, larceny, vehicle theft, criminal mischief, property damage, possession of alcohol while underage, and he also had a fake ID. So they put it up on their Facebook page. They said that they are also looking into the damage that was done at the golf course as well. That's like pretty ballsy though, to get caught drunk driving a golf cart. Because how fast do they go? Like what, 25 miles per hour, Steve? How fast do golf cars go? Oh, not even that. Yeah, you're not going to get away. I'm just like, I'm mystified like as to how, I mean, you think that you're not going to be easily seen? I'm trying to figure out how that happens. Let's see, a feud over a television led to the arrest of another dude. This, because, you know, families argue over changing the channels, right? So this, a man had a standoff with police. Margate police responded to a domestic disturbance call between two siblings, and they got into a fight over changing the channel. And then one sibling assaulted the other sibling. There were two brothers. And they said that upon arrival, officers spoke to the victim. He told officers the dispute escalated quickly. And then the victim was struck forcefully in the back of the head with a remote control. They ran downstairs. The other brother followed suit, shouting angrily. They called 911, and then a brother and a sister. So then the brother grabbed a stone and began chasing her. Then he took her phone, disconnected her call. I mean, this went back and forth. And then he had a little standoff with police with the remote control and the stone. The rock. He had a big rock. Of course he was arrested. Golly, just, you know, it's a television channel. Just, you know, compromise. You've heard me rave about the Kel-Tec KSG shotgun for a long time, and the fact is, I cannot say enough good things about it. I mean, the KSG is the one that started it all, made ordinary shotguns obsolete, and still reigns supreme. But the big reason I keep raving about it is I'm also the proud owner of one, at least. And trust me, I really put the KSG to the test before adding it to my collection. It's perfect for home defense or tactical situations, and this 12-gauge is a reliable go-to that's easy to handle for everyone. The KSG shotgun is the first 12-gauge pump-action shotgun chambered for 3-inch shells, and with dual-tube magazines, offers a capacity of 12+1. Its downward shell ejection makes the KSG truly ambidextrous and ejects shells away from your face. It's compact, lightweight, and easy to maneuver and control. Learn more about the KSG shotgun at KeltecWeapons.com and follow Kel-Tec on social media. Visit KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com.
Called Genderqueer. Okay. Let me read an excerpt from that. Quote, I got a new strap-on harness today. I can't wait to put it on you. It will fit my favorite dildo perfectly. You're going to look so hot. I can't wait to have your in my mouth. I'm going to give you the of your life. Then I want you inside of me. End quote.
Mm. You know what's so funny about this? So this is... first off, you guys know who this is. This is Senator Ted Kennedy. Senator John Kennedy out of Louisiana. And he's there. They're doing this hearing on books and schools, et cetera, et cetera. And they had the Secretary of State in Illinois who came to speak out against it. And this is this book that's called Genderqueer. It's not just one book by itself. It's this book and tons of other books like it. That are not only in and not just in the system online, but on shelves in junior high school libraries. In fact, it was the school down the street from where our studio is that a woman whose daughter was in junior high at the time, pulled that book off of the shelf. In her library, junior high, took it home. And that's how the mom found out and took pictures. And that was when it first went viral. I cannot play the audio uncensored on my radio program because the FCC will drop the hammer and program directors around the country will freak out. But Democrats are fighting to keep this book and many others like it, not just on the library shelves. This book and others like it were also on reading lists that were recommended. That's a whole other story. Maybe you missed it, but they were. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour with you. I'm Dana Lash, your lovable curmudgeon. And the wild thing with this is that the left is freaking out because he read it. And they're saying, oh, this is so disturbing. Can you believe that he read this? It's so disturbing. Ooh. If you think it's disturbing that anyone's reading it, then why are you not disturbed that it's available for Kid Street? I can't tell you the number of people that I've come across on social media that didn't believe me until I shared photos. In fact, some of the photos were the ones that my friend literally had texted my phone that ended up first making the rounds, and then other parents started going and finding out that if the books weren't on the shelves in their library, they absolutely were in the system, and they were on some actual scholastic-y reading list that came recommended. That's all true. I need to know, which is it? There's one of our listeners. He goes by Le Beard Guy. He goes, your kids must have access to this book. Okay, let me read some of it to you. They're out of line. Get out of here. You're a freak. I mean, that's literally how the left is reacting to this. So which is it? Do you think that kids should have access to this book? Or do you think that this book is too crude and age inappropriate for even a lawmaker to read on the floor. Like, we didn't even know if we could. Actually, there was like a part of that audio we didn't even know if we could play. And we're like, we don't know. That's a question, actually, that I never thought Steve was going to ask me off air. And I'm like, I don't know. That's the, because I'll tell you yes. So I'm the absolute wrong person to ask if, you know, the question, can I say this on air? Because I will tell you yes every time. But if he can't read it, you should see. Oh my gosh, I wish I could show you all of the stuff that I pulled up. The left is losing their minds at Kennedy right now because he read it. They said that he's disturbed. They say that, they're really going at him. He's disturbed. He's really having one today. They're livid that he read it, and they're acting like he's a disturbing freak because he's reading a book that they're fighting to keep in libraries. He's been reading, by the way, that's not the only book that he's been reading, a bunch of different excerpts of these books. See, that's the thing. They're not even actually banned. That's such a misnomer. Can we just correct that real quick? This is not like what the left did with Dr. Seuss. Like, the left legit wanted Dr. Seuss out the school. They did not want them even on a list of being available and accessible in the school. They wanted them out of the school. Same thing with like Mark Twain and all of that. They wanted them banned. The parents here never said to ban the books. That's a fact. And the parents, the Keller School that I was talking about, they never said to ban the books. What they said is that they are age inappropriate. And any book, they said that, and it wasn't just, and this is the other thing the media doesn't touch on. It's not just books that deal with sexual nature. It's also drugs and violence, like serious violence and drug usage and stuff like that. They said that, why is it that you're ignoring that we've asked for, you know, make us aware and make sure you have our consent before talking to our kids about all of these subjects, not just one, you know, that we're the parents. I mean, it's age. They do that especially with family planning classes. And by family planning, I mean teaching kids how babies are made. Like, they go through the whole science of it. Everybody's been through that class in junior high where you sit there and you learn the names of stuff and all that. It's a very science clinical approach. Parents were always, I remember when I was in school, we had to bring a form home to our parents. And if a parent wanted you to opt out of the class, then you could opt out. And they still do that in schools today. I don't know why that's not applicable to this book, or why the left acts like you can't apply that to this book or to talking about recreational drug use or talking about violence. And that's the other thing. Parents never wanted anything banned. They just said, we want to be, A, made aware before you begin any kind of study in using these materials. We want to be aware and we want to have consent because we are the arbiters of what is or is not age appropriate for our kids. I have no problem with that. That's not banning. And if people think that that's banning, you're a moron. You are. I hate the fact that your parents gave you a trophy for existing, but you're a moron. I mean, if you really believe that those two things are the same, the left literally demanding that, like Mark Twain and the Dr. Seuss books, not just be not on the shelves. It's not even about getting parental consent. It was about literally removing them from the database of books available, not ever having them on the shelves and not offering them as an option to any student. Whereas this was parents saying there are age-appropriate things and age-inappropriate things, and we consider this age-inappropriate. We do not want our children to have access to it at this time because it's not age-appropriate. One, banning something because you hate the author and you don't want it anywhere near your kids is one thing. Saying that we're not demanding you take it out of the system, we are demanding that you get parental consent before showing this to our kids are two different things. And it's about age appropriateness. And apparently Congress doesn't even think that, you know, Senator Kennedy reading this is age appropriate. I mean, it's kind of what I'm getting, right? They were absolutely speechless. And I guess they think that these books don't exist in school. When people learn exactly what is in this and how easily accessed it was, doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on, the adults are going, oh, what? Wait, it's true. It's absolutely true. So Yeah, we couldn't even play that uncensored on air. Couldn't even play it uncensored on air, but they want it in kids' schools. As students begin heading back to school, do you think they'll be learning about the founding principles that made America the freest and most prosperous nation in history? Will they learn that our unalienable rights are God-given and not granted by government? Will they be given a full and honest account of our nation's history? The answer to all of these questions is yes for students at Hillsdale College. In addition to teaching college students, Hillsdale has extended its teaching to K-12 students and lifelong learners like you. If you're not doing so already, one of the best ways to start learning from the folks at Hillsdale is through Imprimis, Hillsdale's free digest of liberty. You can sign up for free at this special website for a limited time at dana4hillsdale.com. And you can look forward to Imprimis each month. It's interesting, useful, and free, and it's one of the best and smartest in conservative constitutionalist thought. Find out more about Hillsdale College and sign up for Imprimis at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I just thought as the vocals started on that song, I'm like, I'm never going to play this song again for a bumper track. It sounds way too millennial, and it also sounds like a douche commercial, and I just can't do it. So, sorry. All right. This, Juan is dying over there because you agree. He totally agrees. Okay, so this guy, this Pennsylvania prisoner, he apparently was seen last night. Like, he broke into a home last night. Danilo Cavalcante, 34 years old. He was spotted last night in Chester County, South Coventry Township, 20 miles north of the prison, broke into this house and stole a rifle from the garage of the homeowner, who fired several shots as the fugitive fled. He's still on the run. They found a green sweatshirt and a white t-shirt. So they said that, it looks like he's changing his clothes and he's trying to avoid being captured. So they said that they're still searching. They got a perimeter set up. They said it's a large area that's wooded and there's a lot of hilly terrain. It's not something that they can just send a few people in. So he's got a .22. It's got a scope and a light, according to police. And so they said they sent reverse 911 calls to people within 3 miles warning them of danger. But that's man alive. I tell you what, they're still looking for that guy. The JFK assassination witness is now offering new details that undermine the magic bullet theory. Apparently, they say that the book is the new account is breaking with the Warren Commission's findings. And they said that a Secret Service agent who witnessed the assassination broke his silence about it, casting doubt on the findings of the commission. Paul Landis, who admitted that he long believed that Oswald had acted alone, now wonders if there may have been additional people involved. He told the New York Times, I'm beginning to wonder. He said his newfound skepticism results from discrepancies between the Warren Commission and his own experiences on the day that it happened. And he said that's he's got some doubts now. Let's see. Burbank Mayor Constantine Anthony sparked outrage when he apparently posted video of himself being spanked by a drag queen. I hate Instagram sometimes. And when people who literally like are voters and live in his area responded, he said, "What, are you jealous?" He goes, "No children were in attendance." That doesn't matter. You're the mayor, though. Don't you think you should just have like a little bit? There's just certain things that you just, do you want to have a career or not? I mean, that's kind of the question here. That's the way it goes. And then American Humane Dog, Hero Dog Awards, the 2023 awards, they announced top dog finalists ahead of their Veterans Day ceremony. The five hero dog categories are law enforcement, service, therapy, military, and emerging heroes. And it's the American Humane Society, and it's their 2023 Hero Dog Awards. And so it's the award competition. They're recognizing all these. Oh, they have emerging hero and shelter dog. So they're recognizing heroism in man's best friend. Very cool. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. Did you hear about the 6-year-old that was suspended for using a finger gun? This is Bagley Elementary School in Jefferson County, Alabama. It is in Alabama. Alabama, why are you having this issue? Alabama, why are you having in any issue like this? The little kid, JB, his dad's Jared Belcher, 6-year-old, attends Bagley Elementary School in Jefferson County, Alabama, says the school overreacted to a game of cops and robbers. They said that the child committed a class 3 infraction on September 1st because he used his fingers to shoot at another student. In a letter that was sent to school officials, Belcher's attorney demanded that the school immediately and publicly confirm it's going to remove any such record. And they had Gun Owners of America, they partnered with the attorney, and Bama Carey to send a letter to school administrators. They said that the students were playing during recess, and they made pretend guns with their fingers and said bang, bang at each other. And some busybody Karen with a whistle on a rope swinging it around during recess time decided to lose her britches over it, and they got the kids in trouble. They said that the play did not threaten any other students. It didn't disrupt anything. They were literally on the playground. It was during recess. Oh, but they had to report the finger guns to the school administration. Whereupon, Donna Page, assistant principal at Bagley Elementary School, she decided to save everyone from finger guns. They said that he committed a threat infraction. What? They were playing. They said they can't use any, they can't cyberbully or intimidate or blah, blah, blah. They can't threaten to inflict harm involving the use of any kind of knife, prohibited object, et cetera, et cetera. That it is the dumbest thing I've ever read. These teachers should be publicly mocked. The school administration should be publicly mocked. So they charge the six-year-old that's essentially the equivalent of a felony because of finger guns. Now, they allowed him to be returned. They allowed him to return to class, but the attorney, which I agree, says it's too little too late. And this is, it's just asinine, absolutely asinine that they did this. And they labeled him as a potentially dangerous student. You know, that could, they, if they don't expunge it, it's going to follow that child all throughout school. This is zero tolerance with some stuff like this. A lot of people have lost common sense. How many people have used finger guns? My gosh. They're 6 years old. You're teaching fear and you're foisting your adult baggage onto these kids. I think I've told the story before when one of my kids got in trouble. School in Texas. Because they were drawing army guys killing terrorists. Him and a friend. And the army guys had guns and they had guns with it. And the teacher just thought it was just, that you shouldn't. And it was like a free period. And they had finished their work. They weren't bothering anybody. Army guys in fatigues in the battlefield shooting and killing terrorists. And the teacher took exception to it. Sent it to the principal's office. And I just about lost my ever-loving mind on this teacher. So we went up to school, which is the last thing any school official wants to see. Because I'm only going to visit you if there's hell to raise. You know, I'll send you donuts and some coffee and stuff, you know, if I feel like y'all having a bad time or it's finals week. But if I show up at your office, that means hell's coming with me. So we roll up to the principal's office. They already knew. They're like, we know. I'm like, no, I don't think you do because this teacher's still here. I also have a zero tolerance policy as a parent. I have a zero tolerance for absolute bat crap insanity from busybody teachers who are too stupid to have sense. I have zero tolerance for that. I have zero tolerance for the bigotry that is in the heart of this teacher that is going to follow my child for the rest of the quarter and semester. So what are we going to do about it, principal? So that was pretty much the response. That teacher wasn't there. Didn't finish out the year at the school. I'm not saying it was because of me, but it may have been all the other parents that I had also reached out to. But I just don't deal with that, and neither should these parents. Kudos to this father for going full scorched earth on this, because he should. The only way you're good, this is bullying of a different sort. This is threatening and intimidation of a different sort. When you are brainwashing kids into thinking that they got to walk on eggshells because you're going to have some, you know, pansy teacher who's going to freak out over finger guns, that's by itself intimidation and teaching fear. And it should be met with scorched earth rebuttal. So good on this father for doing that. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be done until whoever decided to report them is gone. Because you don't want that to follow any other kids. And that should also be a part of that teacher's permanent record, too. This goes both ways.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.